A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name," and all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. If we look back into our Judeo-Christian tradition, we come to that wonderful story in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, where God takes earth into God's hands, forming that earth and breathing the divine breath into that figure made of earth. And we see the emergence of the first human being, Adam, the one made from the earth. And God breathes this divine life into Adam, this divine life into the heart of this first human. We get a similar image in the responsorial psalm from this Sunday, Psalm 139. The psalmist sings, "Truly you have formed my inmost being, you knit me in my mother's womb. I give you thanks that I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul also you knew full well, nor was my frame unknown to you when I was made in secret, when I was fashioned in the depths of the earth." Both of these images, the image of God, the one who works with the clay of the earth, breathing the divine breath into the figure made of clay, as well as this other beautiful image of God knitting us in our mother's womb, making us beautiful, wonderful works in secret, fashioning us in the depths of the earth, speak of this beauty that is deep within us, this beauty that is in the very depths of our hearts, God's breath, God's word flowing into us, God writing the divine name in each of our hearts, as we hear in the prophet Isaiah today. "The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb, God gave me my name." This is what it means to be anointed. Our anointing means that we are given God's very name, a piece of God's name, God's breath, God's light is stamped into our hearts. We are anointed by God. Baptism for a Christian is almost like the seed of God's light that has been sown in us in creation, is watered and begins to grow and comes to life into the fullness. In our being created and redeemed, a ray of the divine light that shines out from God's heart and shines out from the sacred heart of Jesus finds a home in our own hearts. The rest of our lives is simply a response to that gift of divine light. How to let that light shine out into the world is really what Christian living is all about. In fact, we might even sum up what it means to be a Christian in this way. It's receiving this gift of God's divine light, making room for it in our hearts, and then living in such a way that it shines out into the world. We might, in fact, define sin as anything that builds a wall around this light that is in our hearts, covering it up. The story is told of a small 5-year-old girl who once asked her mother on the way home from church one Sunday. She said, "Mommy, what is a saint?" Her mother responded, "Don't you remember the saints that we looked at the other day in the stained glass windows in the church?" To which the little girl responded, Oh, so the saints are the ones who have the light shining through them. Yes, that's precisely what a saint is. That's what a Christian is. In fact, the more that God's light shines through us from deep within us, the more we are growing in holiness. Again, from the reading of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in today's reading from chapter 49, verses 1 through 6, the Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb, God gave me my name. You are my servant, God said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. We are the ones, as Isaiah notes, through whom God's glory shines. This light shines through us. This is the work of God, and we participate in it through our living out of this wonderful vocation of being formed in God's image. We all have God's light in us. Every single human being has God's light in him or her. All of creation has God's light hidden deep within it. The trees, the birds, the flowers, the grass, the ocean, the rivers, the clouds, the sky, the stars. Some particle of God's breath and life is in all of creation. And not just in Christians when we talk about human beings. Mahatma Gandhi, the great prophet of the Hindu people, great speaker and liberator of truth in India, a Hindu himself, had God's light shining brightly through him. The Dalai Lama today, prophet of peace throughout the world, the spiritual leader, a Buddhist leader of the Tibetan people, has God's light shining through him. In these very difficult days we've seen recently of the violence in the Holy Land, we find Christians and Jews and Muslims joining hands and hearts, working for peace in the midst of the violence. In the very land where Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist and Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived many, many centuries ago. God's light is given to each of us freely. And our lives are about doing something with this light, giving it an expression to our daily lives. Each person's life is a unique chance to share God's light. We are formed by God in our mother's womb, and each of us is given a name, a word, a unique drop of the golden divine light of God, and each of us is free to respond in a unique way to that gift. It's interesting when we go and look at the gospel today from Luke, and we see the neighbors and relatives and friends of Zechariah and Elizabeth, sure that they know what this baby is going to be like. They're certain, of course, he'll be named after his father. He's going to be just like his father. He's going to be a priest just like his father. And both Elizabeth and Zechariah say, no. His name will be John. He will not be Zechariah. He will not be a carbon copy of his father. Children are not made from cookie cutters of their parents and simply repeating the same things that their parents did. It's a very powerful story because Zechariah and Elizabeth are saying very strongly, our son will be a unique expression of the light of God, not just another carbon copy. And we hear that this in John's own life, the way he lived it out. If we look at the first chapter of John's Gospel, the Gospel of John, it's a wonderful expression given about John the Baptist. It says in verses 6 to 9, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. It's interesting in this piece from the Gospel of John that it's made very clear that John the Baptist wasn't the light, but he had a very specific vocation. He had a very important and particular and unique role to play in the history of salvation, and that was to give witness to the light. In other words, to let the light in his heart shine on the face of Jesus so that the world might recognize him as the Savior, as the Messiah. This was his particular vocation. This was the peace of God's truth written into his heart. This is the way that he chose, through God's grace, to live out his vocation as someone pointing to the bridegroom, someone pointing to the Messiah, not an identical copy of his father or mother, but a unique expression of God's grace and light. Children, every child, is born from the love of a mother and father. Each child has imprinted in his or her heart God's grace and light and name and truth and word. But each child then grows as a unique expression, a unique echo of God's name, an earthen vessel carrying within his or her heart a unique portion of God's breath and God's spirit. Though we all have God's light shining forth from our hearts, just how we live that light, how we live out our lives, is the way that we give a particular expression to that light. In our second reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, Paul speaks about David, King David, the great king of our Judeo tradition, long history, great king of Israel. And if we go back and look at the story of David's life in the books of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, we have that wonderful story of David's father, Jesse, when the prophet Samuel comes looking to anoint the new king of Israel. Jesse calls seven of his sons forth and says, "Surely you'll find the king among one of my seven sons." And Samuel looks at all seven of them and realizes none of these are the ones called by God. And he says to Jesse, Samuel says to Jesse, "Is this all? Do you have any more kids?" And he says, "Yeah, well, there's one more. He's the youngest one of all. He's out tending the sheep right now. He's not really much of anything." And the prophet says, "Call him." And when he sees David, and he senses the Spirit of God coming upon him, he says, "This is the one that God has called." David, perhaps the least significant of all, the smallest, perhaps he wasn't the smartest, but he was the one that had that particular drop of God's light in his heart that was needed to guide the people of Israel. And so each person is given this gift, this light. Each of us are called to take that light that we've received at baptism and hold it out in the world and do something with it. Let it shine. Not in the same way that our parents or our grandparents did or our brothers or our sisters or everybody else in our community does, but in a unique way, a particular way, a way that sets us free to be who we truly are, not imitating anyone else. Each child of God lets that light shine in a unique way. Parents do it through the love that they give to their children, helping their children become who they truly are, human beings, illuminating their pathways when they're small and setting them free when they grow up. Teachers use the light in their hearts to shine on the minds of young people today, helping them to discover the love of learning, to begin to think for themselves, to learn, to explore, to discover, to dialogue and discuss. Lawyers and judges use the light in their hearts to help shine truth into particular situations in our world today. Nurses and doctors and chiropractors and therapists, people who work with medicine and healing, use their light in a different way, a healing light, a light that brings wholeness back to people's hearts, back to people's minds, back to people's bodies. It's a different light than the light of a teacher or a lawyer or a judge. Priests and sisters and catechists and preachers and delegates of the word, deacons, men and women very much a part of parish life and faith life and teaching in universities, Christian faith today. This is a different kind of light. It's a different way of using the light to speak of God's marvelous deeds and grace. People who are called to this particular form of a religious vocation use their light to shine on the spiritual truth hidden within our hearts. A gardener, a forest ranger, people people who work with the land, farmers, they use their light in a way particular to themselves. So in other words, everybody has this light of God in their hearts. Some use the light to make our world a more beautiful place, and others use their light to heal a broken heart. What we do with the light that God has given us is where our Christian vocation finally comes into fullness. I'd like to end with a little story that I heard this past week on television about a man from Britain named Paul Potts. He recently participated in a program of television series similar to American Idol in the United States called Britain's Got Talent. In an interview that was on the television recently, he spoke about growing up kind of with a bad self-image, often laughed at. He was overweight, has big crooked teeth, just not a great life, didn't really feel like he was appreciated growing up. But he said in this interview that it was always his voice that was the place where he could be who he truly was. But nobody ever heard him sing. No one ever recognized that voice until this talent program on the television recently. And he ends up winning this long process of elimination and becomes Britain's idol, Britain's great talented new star. And he has this just absolutely beautiful voice. Sounds like a Pavarotti or someone himself. And he said that throughout his life, when he would come back to his voice, when he would sing, even though he wasn't recognized or heard or really appreciated, he would be truly who he was. He would feel freedom in his heart. This song, this voice of his is in a way an image of this light of God in our lives. There's a piece of us deep within our hearts which is the truest expression of who we are. And when we sing that song, when we speak that word, when we use that particular talent in our lives, we are giving full expression to the light of God in our lives today. We're letting that light, as Prophet Isaiah says, shine out among the nations so that God's salvation can reach to the ends of the earth. The light is God's gift. What we do with it is how we grow in holiness and let God's light shine through us. Happy Feast of John the Baptist.